Hello, I'm Jim Richards. I want to welcome you to the broadcast this week. Man, we are continuing in this incredible series called The Mystery of Iniquity, The Enemy of Grace. And I want you to understand, there are so many people who believe in the grace of God and have gotten liberated from dead works and religions by the message of the grace of God, yet they're finding themselves not really having any more power to overcome some of their issues than they had in the past. And what they're realizing is all they've got is another doctrine, that they've got the information, they've got the letter, but they don't have the spirit of it. They don't have the power that's supposed to be working from this truth. Today we're going to be talking about morals, values, and standards. And listen, it's not going to be all legalistic, because we want to move you to a place to where God's truth and God's morals and values and standards have power in your life. It's called the power of righteousness. Stick around. My new series, The Mystery of Iniquity, The Enemy of Grace, is an eye-opening series that not only gives you answers to questions, but it helps you connect to real solutions for the problems. I want to tell you something. You can believe in the doctrine of grace, and it may not work in your life, and you may not know why, and you may get frustrated, and you may give up, but I'm going to tell you something. This new series is going to connect you with God's truth and God's power in ways you've never known. You know, God is a God of love. He's a God of kindness. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of patience. He's a God who has all of these incredibly positive attributes. And God wants us to be like Him. And that's why He put His Spirit in us. That's why He gave us the gift of righteousness. He is a righteous God, which means He is as He should be. And He wants us to be righteous. He wants us to be as we should be. Now, it's not as we should be so that we can earn something from Him. It's not as we should be so that we can get Him to love us. It's as we should be so that we can live in a world that really is in harmony, so we can have relationships that are in harmony, so that we can have peace and love, and so that in reality, our life can work. You see, I've heard people say this. They say, you know, when a baby comes, it'd be great if you got a book that told you what you were supposed to do, or a manual that tells you what you're supposed to do. And it always says, it's a shame you don't get a manual with a child. I'm like, whoa, excuse me, you did get a manual. It's called the Bible. Well, the problem is people take the Bible and they turn the Bible into something goofy, something religious, and you know, really, people don't. They don't know the difference between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. They don't know what to do with the Old Testament after they realize there is a New Covenant. And people just live in incredible confusion about the Word of God, so much so that basically it becomes so complicated, it becomes so outdated, it becomes so nonsensical that for most people, the Bible just becomes something that they push off and say, we'll let the preachers worry about that. We'll let everybody else worry about that. And really, people try to relate to God just based on their opinions, which really means their own philosophies, their own cultures, their own ideas, and do not know how to have a meaningful relationship with the Word of God based on the Word of God, based on the truth, based on the revelation of who God is. But what's worse is because we don't know how to use the owner's manual, we really don't know how to manage our lives. We really don't realize how much God loves us. You know, even in the Old Covenant and in the Old Testament, God said repeatedly that the reason He gave us truth is so that, you know, we'd be blessed, we'd be prospered, we'd have peace, our life would work. And thereby we would know that God loves us. And so really He's saying, I want you to be able to look at my word. I want you to be able to look at my truth, and I want you to see that my truth is wisdom, that my truth shows you how to function, how to have a great life. And when you apply this, rather than saying, look, these are a bunch of rules I obeyed, and look, I take all the credit for this. No, it's when you apply this, you'll say, God knew what He was doing when He created me. God loved me so much that He showed me how to make life work. I want you to realize all values, morals, and standards are a product of God's Word. And, you know, in our country, our nation as a whole, whenever our judicial system was set up more closely based on the Word of God, our judicial system worked a little better than it works now. I'm not saying it's ever worked like it's supposed to, because we're living in an imperfect world with imperfect people. But I'm going to tell you something. God showed how to have a judicial system that would work, and you could have relative peace and relative harmony in a country. He showed you how you could have a financial system work so that there would never be an overabundance of poor people, and so that the wealth, extremely wealthy, could never get control of all the resources and control the poor and oppress the poor. God showed us how to have the best that you can have in this natural world before He comes and sets up the eternal heaven here on earth. And He did all of that through His Word, and His Word is called the law and the prophets. Now, the word law is basically means a divine instruction. And so it's not a rule, even though, you know, it kind of gets kind of complicated. Laws exist, and it says, like the law of gravity says this. It says, if you jump off of the top of the house, top of a building, you are going to plummet to the ground. And based on how high that building is, you could break a leg. You could hurt yourself pretty seriously, or you could kill yourself. So the misuse of the law of gravity could cause you to experience death. Now, the use of the law of gravity could do all kinds of things for you. You know, it's proper use of the law of gravity and the law of lift that causes us to have air travel and these sorts of things. So, you know, when I look at the law, I don't look at the law and say, this is a rule that I am obeying to get God to like me or get God to love me. God already loves me. God already loves you. No matter what problems you've got, God already loves you. But I look at the law as a divine piece of wisdom, as divine instruction that shows me how the wisdom of God for how to live my life. But now, Don't turn me off yet. If you say, well, wait a minute, I'm under grace, I'm not under law. I'm not talking about coming under law, but hang in here with me. You're going to see something that you probably never grasped before about the law and its place in the new covenant. You know, but let me read a couple of scriptures to you. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart, and the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." So listen, you know, he's saying, listen, you take the Word of God in its totality. First of all, it's perfect. It's going to affect your soul, which is your mind, your thinking, your emotions. It's going to make you wise, even though right now you may be simple. It's going to cause your heart to rejoice when you see what is withheld in it. And it's going to enlighten your eyes. It's going to open your eyes to see how truth should work. Now, if you're ever reading the Bible looking for the rules, you're in trouble. You're in a mess. And if you ever think that just reading something in the Bible and getting that information in your mind, that alone gives you power or strength or makes you more able to be godly, you're deceived because the life is not in the letter. The life is not in the information. And we're going to talk some about that. Now, we have traditionally felt like man's ultimate problem here on earth is sin. Well, that's sort of true. And that was particularly true under the old covenant. But in the new covenant, we now have grace. And the Bible says that where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So sin in general is not the overall problem that's destroying individual lives, that's corrupting the church, that's corrupting nations. I mean, it is a real factor, But sin in the very general sense is not an issue, because see, sin has always been a struggle for mankind. It's always been a struggle for church. But the real destruction is lawlessness. And we learned last week in last week's broadcast, if you hadn't got a chance to watch the previous parts of this series, go back and watch these, because if you miss any part of this, you're going to have some misunderstandings. The word that we call lawlessness is the word that traditionally was called iniquity. And iniquity is that is that evil that is so corrupting and so destructive and so deceitful and so wicked and so bad that it has this incredible power to destroy people's lives. And so what we're really struggling with is lawlessness. Now, here's kind of a paradox, and all lawlessness is sin, but not all sin is lawlessness. You know, there's 9 different Greek words for sin. There's sins that we aren't aware of as being sin. There are sins where we violate one another, where we transgress. But lawlessness is a sin that is particularly wicked, because it is a rejection of God's laws. Now you say, well, wait a minute. If I'm not under law, but I'm under grace, then am I not supposed to reject the law? Because isn't the law bad? No, the law is not necessarily a bad thing. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul talks about the fact that the law is a good thing, and that in reality, if a man uses the law lawfully, that it is good. But if you try to use the law unlawfully, then this is a destructive thing. Some people say, well, wait a minute. The Bible says that by the law you have knowledge of sin. Well, all right, let's talk just a minute about what sin is. And I've reviewed this many times in our services, in our broadcasts. Sin, if you look at the original sin in the book of Genesis, you start understanding that sin was first conceived in the heart of Adam and Eve, because they came to feel that they were not who God said they were. In other words, in the original temptation, and you know, we have a capsulization of the temptation. We don't know if this went on for years, days, weeks, or hundreds of years. We don't know, because I don't know that time as we know it now even began until man left the garden. I don't know. But basically, the temptation was that God doesn't want you eating this tree, this fruit, because on the day that you eat of this, you're going to be like God. Well, they were already like God. And so sin started in their heart because they did not believe the truth about who they were in relationship to God. And so out of that belief comes behavior, and then comes consequences. And so all sin, no matter which of the 9 Greek words of sin that you look at, all sin has to do with us not believing who we really are in relationship to God, not believing who we are, not believing what we really have. In other words, living a life or believing about ourselves, anything that makes us experience life less than we really are in God. So sin isn't just the bad things that you might do that God can't stand. No, sin are the things that is the belief about yourself that you can't stand, that causes you to see yourself as inadequate and inferior and all of these kinds of things. And I'm going to tell you something. What God has for us, we have to see ourselves in Jesus. We have to see and experience ourselves as the righteousness of God in Him, in order for that to be fulfilled in our lives. It's just like we talked about last week. Iniquity and righteousness, they're interesting words in that they both seem to hold within themselves the idea of a truth, something that the Scripture says, so it's information, But then it's also the belief that's in your heart. Then it's also the behavior that comes out of that belief. And then it's the consequences of that belief. So see, righteousness starts out as a truth that God spoke and it's written down in His Word. And it's no less God's Word because it's written. And it's not death because it's written. It's information because it's written. And in reality, and if you get this series on the mystery of iniquity, you'll discover that the whole problem with sin bringing the knowledge, with law bringing the knowledge of sin, is really because instead of people treating the Word of God like something that God spoke, they treated it like it was just a list of requirements that God had for us. So sin is living less, really, than the promises of God. Well, Romans 3:19 says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, I want you to realize something. When you first read something like that, you say, okay, so then the law is no good because if I read the law, I'm going to have the knowledge of God, the knowledge of sin. Now, wait a minute. If you're righteous and you know that you're righteous, then the knowledge of sin is going to turn you back to the path of life. If you're carnal, then the knowledge of sin is going to lead to condemnation, and it's really going to lead to you destroying your life. So I want you to understand something. The law in itself, and even the knowledge of sin in itself, is not totally a bad thing. It's a bad thing if you're committed to iniquity. Remember, we also talked about the scripture last week where it says that the way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but it's destruction to the workers of iniquity. And so it's the same way with the knowledge of sin. See, here's the deal. I don't know that I'm living less than I should be living when I get sick unless I read the Bible and it says that by His stripes you are healed. Now, I am aware now that because healing was provided at the cross of Christ, I am aware that I am living less than I'm supposed to be living. You know, I made this statement several times, and you'll hear me say this, and I had somebody get really upset about me. Where I talked about the fact that you know, I repented for being sick, and you know, when I'm not saying I got on the floor and groveled and thought I was evil and bad because I was sick. No, I changed my mind, and I realized that I was living less than Jesus had provided through the cross. So the knowledge of sin, the knowledge of living less than God had provided for me, the knowledge of that made it possible for the Holy Spirit to say, now that you know that, let me take you to life. Let me take you to the source of life. And it was the same way after I got healed, and that led me to get healed. And so in 1983, I experienced an incredible, miraculous healing. And then I was thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in debt. And I began to search the scriptures, and I discovered that he was made poor, that through his poverty, I might be made rich. And I started realizing that God delights in the prosperity of his saints. And I said, I repented for being broke. And I'll never forget getting on my knees at the foot of my bed one night, after me and Brenda had been studying some scriptures about this, and I said, Father, I repent for being broke. I'm changing my mind. I don't need to be broke. I don't need to just get by. And from this day forward, I determine I'll never be broke again unless it's for righteousness' sake or unless I give it all away. Now, if I had not found these scriptures that showed me the promises of God, God's promise to provide for me, I would have had no knowledge that I was living less than Jesus had provided for me on the cross. So you see, you got to realize that I wouldn't know the promises of God apart from His Word. And when I read a promise of God and I recognize that I'm living beneath that promise, then that promise has made me have the knowledge of sin, the knowledge that I'm living less than that I really am in Jesus. So what I do, I repent, I change my mind, and I turn back around and say, no, in Jesus, this is who I am. In Jesus, this is what I have. And you know, through the cross of Christ, this is the life that I have. So I want you to realize something. Everything has been provided for us. And all of this, you know, all of this truth from the Old Testament, you got to realize the Apostle Paul, all of these apostles in the New Testament, everything they preached, they got it out of the Old Testament. How did they get it out of the Old Testament? Because they knew in all of the promises of the law. And that's important you understand. All the promises of the law are yes and amen. See, man, you go back and read Deuteronomy 28 about all these promises that belong to somebody that keep the law. And you say, well, you know what? I'm in Jesus. All these promises are yes for me. I'm qualified for them, even though I may still be struggling with some problems. Then you read all of these curses and you say, well, wait a minute. And you know, that's what I did when I got healed. I was reading these curses about what happens to people whenever they don't obey all the commandments. And I thought, oh man, I've got these curses. So I had the knowledge of sin in my life, but I also had the knowledge of the promise. And so I was able to turn my heart to God. But here's what we really want to get to. I want you to realize the law of God, the way the Pharisees interpret it was the letter. And the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. We learned last week that Jesus taught the difference between the truth and the law. He taught the difference between the righteousness of the Pharisees and the kind of that comes from the law and the righteousness of Christ that comes from grace and truth. And so we're not really throwing away the law. We're relating to the law totally different. Therein is the wisdom of God. There, you know, people come up and tell me, they say, well, I'm free from the law. And I say, well, then so start committing adultery. Start lying, cheating, stealing, robbing banks, you know. Don't wash your hands before you eat. If you go to the hospital, just tell your doctor not to even wash off the stuff he's going to operate with you on because, you know, you're free from the law. All that came out of the law. Well, that's foolishness. And if people thought about what they were saying, see, we're free from the law for righteousness' sake. The law can't make you righteous. Jesus can make you righteous. But real quick, in Romans 8:10, the Bible says this, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, I want you to understand something. When the Spirit of God came inside of you, He wrote all of the law in your heart. And that Greek word for law is the law and all that it implies. So you say, well, wait a minute. You mean the Spirit of God came and put the law in my heart? Yes, because that's what He's always going to lead you to walk in. But He's not going to lead you to walk in it in some negative way, in some list of rules. See, He brought the truth in your heart, the law and what it really implies, the law and what the real intentions is. And so you see, when we renew our minds to understand God's truth, now our minds and our heart are in harmony. And now when the Holy Spirit is leading, we're not trying to keep up with this list of rules in our head, but when the Holy Spirit is trying to lead us, we recognize His voice. We recognize what He's saying because, you know what? We've read it before. We've seen it. We've seen it in the Scripture. So I want you to understand something. I am not interested in you getting under the law because, like the Bible says, the letter kills, but the Spirit is life. I want you to come to the place where you realize that everything that God ever said is wisdom, and it's the wisdom you need to apply to your life. And it's good to learn it. It's good to renew your mind. You have to renew your mind. And you renew your mind from the Word, from that Word of God, from all those promises in the New Testament, all that wisdom that God gives you. But I want you to realize that you have to know and accept that you have been made righteous by the Lord Jesus. And that the Holy Spirit is going to lead you not just into obeying the law, but how to put that truth into practice in your life. I'm going to tell you something. This is a paradox that escapes people. This is a paradox that people can't see. This is the mystery of iniquity. Stick around. I've got a mentoring moment for you. I want to share something really important. Well, this is January of 2014. Man alive, we're launching out with a new year. We're reaching around the world. We want to touch as many people as we can. Let me tell you something. There's never been a day when it's been so crucial for people to hear the Word of God. And as you're listening to this message, you've got to be looking around at our nation saying, no wonder our nation is in such trouble. We have abandoned the Word of God. We've gone against the Word of God. We're teaching Antichrist doctrines in our school. The Word of God is being destroyed, and the result is that lives are being destroyed. And you know what? We're not trying to overthrow the country. We're not trying to fight with the government, but we're trying to have a revival in the hearts of men and women. I'd like to encourage you to consider becoming a world changer. Help us take this message to the world. Change the way the world sees God. Just today, I had a conversation with somebody. After I talked to him for a few minutes, they said, "Man, you know what? I know Jesus, but I don't know any of this. Help us change the way the world sees God." My new series, The Mystery of Iniquity, the enemy of grace, is going to open your eyes in ways that you absolutely cannot imagine. You're going to come to understand why you believe in the doctrine of grace and it just doesn't seem to work like it's supposed to work. So many times we've heard promises from preachers about some new formula or some new doctrine and it doesn't work out like it should. I want to tell you something. The mystery of iniquity is going to strip away those things that are neutralizing grace in your life. You know, Paul says that the goal of all of his instruction, the goal of the commandment, is so that you can have a clear conscience. You see, the commandment didn't come to corrupt your conscience. It came to give you a clear conscience. Now, the Word of God is written on your heart. This means that when you violate the Word of God, yes, the law, now not the law to make you righteous, not the law to earn something from God, but God's divine prescriptions for life. When you violate these, whether you know them in your mind or not, you begin to have a corrupted conscience. And once you have a corrupted conscience, I want to tell you something, your life begins to become emotionally unstable. You don't know why you feel out of sorts. You don't know why things aren't working. You don't know why you feel depressed or wrong. And the reason why is because you're living in a way that you were not designed, that you were not created to live. You're violating the identity that God has given you as a new believer. And you have a clear conscience or a single conscience whenever your mind, your heart, and your behavior all align with the Word of God. But that's only going to happen because you believe you're righteous in Jesus, because you believe that God is working in you, giving you the strength, giving you the power, giving you the ability. So I want to ask you this. Have you ever really renewed your mind? Have you ever gone back and just read the book of Leviticus, as boring as it is, and read all the things that it says about how we're supposed to treat our neighbor, or read the book of Deuteronomy and read all of that, and don't put yourself under condemnation, but get that information into your mind so that your mind is renewed. And then commit yourself to the grace of God. It's like, Father, I don't want this to be rules to me. I want this to be how I treat people. I want this to be how I manage my money. I want this to be how I relate to my wife, my kids, my husband, my friends. Renew your mind and then commit yourself to the grace of God. And what you'll discover is that your conscience will not be violated. You'll be living in peace. Your whole world will change. Listen, the law of God will convert the soul. It'll give you peace in your mind, in your thinking. And I'm telling you something, it'll make your life start working, but it'll work because grace is working in you.